Well, good morning, church. Welcome again today. It's Sunday again. Wow. Hope we've all had a blessed week. All of us had a good week. Amen. So how many of us are ready to look into God's Word this morning and to see the blessing that God has for us each today? Amen. Now, if you were with us here over the last couple of weeks, we have been listening to the word from the book of Joshua. And we have seen, especially to me, I hope this is what we got out of the message. A lot of times I'm trying to bring it home in one area, and there's so many areas we can study in the Word of God. But the area I wanted to bring home over the last couple of weeks was simply this, that mixture is dangerous. Mixture needs to be dealt with. And we saw how severely God had Joshua deal with mixture. Because of it, the children of Israel were defeated against their enemies. And God gave instruction to Joshua, as we saw over the last couple of weeks, what happened, what caused their defeat, and how God restored the victory back to the children of Israel. And we know and we see from that it is deadly to mix the old covenant with the new, or to mix the new with the world's ways. Any mixture is deadly for us. And you know, God's way is the only way. With God, there is only one way, and that way is what? Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am one of the ways. I'm a little of the truth and a bit of the life. No, I am the. In other words, there is no other way. There is no other life, and there is no other truth. And you know, the world, when you set that forth, and you are bold enough to proclaim that to people, they consider you and me very narrow-minded. Oh my goodness, you are so narrow-minded. But you know what? The Bible does say that the way, Matthew chapter 7, is narrow, compressed with pressure. Narrow and straight is the way. But this narrow way, the Bible teaches us, leads to what? Exceeding abundantly life. The narrow way leads to an exceeding abundantly, above all we could even imagine, life. Large, bountiful. That's the definition of the word abundance. Whereas the broad way, people in the world are very broad-minded. Where does that lead? It leads to destruction and eventually death. So you see, the world's way is totally opposite. Keep an open mind. And in their thinking, it's like, oh, I get everything. You know, I want to experience a little of everything so I can have it all. Whereas the right way is the narrow way, which leads to life. Make sense? And this abundance of life, this life that I've been talking about that is abundantly above all we can even imagine, even think, is the life of rest that God made promise in reference to way back when Abraham, when he first called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldea. Funny, I always remember that. I see those three words in my head. Out of the Ur of Chaldea, he called Abraham to come on out, come out, and I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, where your descendants will be more than the number of the sand on the seashore. The promised land. And every blessing and every good thing in this land can only be attained, and this is what we've been learning, only through Jesus Christ, through the grace of God and the cross. It's not going to be a little bit of your efforts, a little bit of your good works, a little bit of the wisdom of the world, and you just kind of splash it into a bag and you shake it all up and, you know, you throw it up and see what you get. No, there's only one way to this land. The land that, whether the world understands it or realizes it or not, they're looking for the same thing. The world is running after the same thing as the church is. The only difference is we've already got it. But they will never understand your way because they don't know God. And unless they know God, they can't know his ways. And so, yes, they're going to look at you and they're going to persecute you and they're going to tell you you're very narrow-minded. But that's okay, because at the end of that road leads to abundance of life. It's not going to be through anything you're going to do, little of your good works or your efforts or man's wisdom. In fact, the Bible says, he who climbs up any other way is what? A thief and a robber. There is no other way. So the thief and the robber, who is the thief and robber robbing from? He's robbing from you and from the Lord. He's robbing God of the glory. He wants a little of the glory. Isn't that why man likes to work out his own thing? Because he desires a little bit of the glory. And he's robbing you of this abundance of life. So no mixture. It might seem like a really narrow way, but thank God. You know what? I dislike intensely variety. I don't know. Guys, they just seem to go on in the stores and they just pick out what it is. Women will stand there and they'll read all the bottles. Like the other day, I was looking for ketchup. I'm like, ketchup. I mean, I know Heinz is all I buy. But now, Heinz has a whole new line of ketchup. It's the organic ketchup, and it's the, you know, this ketchup, and that ketchup. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So then, now I'm frustrated, because I can't find the regular ketchup. Where's the regular? I don't want the organic, I just want regular ketchup. And so, you know what? God has made it simple. It's this way, or the highway. And there is no variety. And so let's rest in the simplicity of the gospel, which is Jesus is the only way. No matter what decision we come up against in life, no matter what problem, there's no other way. It's Jesus. He's the only way. Ketchup, the only thing is original. I have to change everything up. But honestly, it just makes life more confusing, more stressful. And then you end up buying something and you don't like it. And so then it's wasteful. No, Jesus, thank goodness it's simple. There's only one way, and it's his name is Jesus. And we need to always remember, our Heavenly Father will not share the glory of his Son Jesus with anyone. He will not share the glory. It's going to be all Jesus. Yes, all glory. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He is majesty in heaven. And we need to understand that. When we're in the presence of him, we're in the presence of, in our English words, there is no word. In the Old Testament, they used to be afraid to say the name of God. That's the fear they had of God. We've lost that. That just awe of God. We need to get that back. We need to have a revelation that when we worship God, we are in the very presence of, and I mean, someday we're going to see. We're in this flesh body and we can't see beyond, you know, but God is very real and the spirit world is very real. And it's going to be, oh, what a day. When we see him in his glory and we see the Father on the throne with our own eyes, it gives me shivers just thinking about it. And we're going to realize, like, oh my goodness, how we misunderstood. And the Bible says that we're all going to hit the floor. We are going to fall on our faces because we won't know. We're going to lose all strength in his presence. But you know what? You can experience that even here. He's here. His presence is among us. It's in us. You don't have to wait to die and go to heaven to bask in his presence and to just enjoy him. And we as the church, I really believe we need to cultivate entering into his presence. And I know with the series that I taught on praying in tongues, that is so key. And I know that the more you put that into practice, the quicker you're in the presence of God. You know, have you ever been in a service where it just seemed like, oh, it was so dry, it was so dead, and you're just like, and then, you know, all of a sudden, if you stay there long enough, because God's still there. It's just that you've got the dust of the world on your feet. Your mind isn't on him. There's all kinds of things come into play. And it takes a while for you to just get rid of everything. And that's why when we do the worship, sometimes we go on and on. We don't just stop after we do a song because we're giving people time to stop and contemplate and enter into God's presence. That's what we do. We're leading you into the presence of God. But you know, the more you do that at home, the more you practice it, the more you cultivate that sense of his presence, the quicker you're going to enter in every time. You won't have to go on and on and on and on. You will be dripping with the presence. So practice that at home. Cultivate a time where you just worship him. And the more you do it, the quicker and easier you will enter in when we're together as a church. Amen? That's not in my notes. Anyways, what were we talking about? Okay, we've been looking at over the last week or so how mixture is deadly, not important. It cannot be mixture and inherit the fullness of the promised land that God's promised us. And we saw from last week that when there is mixture, we cannot stand before our enemies. It's not that God, you know, strikes you. It's just that we cannot stand. And we need to know how to stand, right? After having done all, stand, therefore stand. But I truly believe that the body of Christ is where she is today because we've had so much mixture. Anybody agree with me? Amen. There's been mixture in the church. I've heard it, you've heard it. And I just think you young'uns that are just coming into the message and learning for the first time, you are blessed. And maybe that's why God has protected you from that mixture, because he's going to use you guys. And you are going to run this race like we could have never dreamt it. You know why? There's no mixture. It's the truth. Nothing but the truth to help you, God, and I'm running with it. I don't have to rip down a million strongholds out of my mind, because those strongholds weren't there in the first place. And so you are blessed. You have not heard mixture. Now, I'm not here pointing fingers. I really believe that the body of Christ, in general, you look around, is no different than the world. Right? Do you see such a division between, can we tell really a lot of times at a glance the Christian from the non-Christian? No. And if you dig a little deeper, you're going to find that their lives aren't a whole lot different than ours. In other words, they go through the same stuff we do. There's no difference. Sickness and disease, poverty, divorce, whatever the issues are just as rampant in the church as they are in the world, and maybe more, because the enemy would rather do it in the church than in the world. But something's wrong with this picture. So for the most part, there's not a difference much between the life of God's children. I'm not talking about eternal life, okay? Don't get me wrong here. There's a big difference if you're looking at versus eternal death, eternal life. But I'm talking about this life. There's not a whole lot of difference between the lives of the children of God and the children of the world. And like I said, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm because that finger was going to point right back at me. I'm always speaking about me first. And I believe in my spirit, God is passionately wanting you and me to arise, shake off the dust, and make straight paths for ourselves. Turn not to the left nor to the right, but keep our eyes on that prize and prove the good and acceptable will of God, so that we all may be fruitful and give glory unto our Father. It is time for the church to arise and shake off the dust. Now, when the Bible talks about shaking off the dust, it's talking about the world, shaking off the wisdom of the world, shake off, you know, the things that, you know, we've never really taken a stand for, and we've allowed the world's ways to kind of take over. Shake it off. Jesus is the only way. We need to be bold. We need to be willing to stand up for what we believe in and not worry about what somebody's going to think about us. The Bible tells us, make straight paths for our feet. Do not be turned out of the way. Why? So that the lame may be what? Healed. I want to talk this morning and address a topic that I don't know if I've ever addressed specifically or wholly before. I mean, you know what I believe. I bring it into every sermon. But I want to talk about healing this morning, physical healing. I mean, there is just so much controversy over that in the body of Christ. In churches, you know, does God heal? Or does? Oh, yes, he heals. Sometimes he do, sometimes he don't. You know, we just never know. You know, there is just so many takes, mixture about healing in the body of Christ. And it is time, because like I said last week, number one, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our sins. Number two, who heals all of our diseases. I believe healing is important. It's important because it not only affects you, it affects your husband, your children, your family around you. It affects everything. You become useless when you're sick. And I mean, maybe not totally. I mean, we've got all kinds of degrees. But what I'm saying, God wants you at your best while you're running this race. Healing is not something that is just kind of like optional. I believe it is important for the body of Christ.